Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome, Pop Culture Stars, for February 23rd, 2022. Hoping everybody listening is doing fantastic as I ease out to the semi-balmy Carolina evening here to light up a cigar. Beautiful night out here, man. Can't beat it. Mom Nature really done me a solid this evening. But we hope everybody has had a good week, is doing well. And as always, I am going to go through and introduce our most esteemed and wonderful panelists that I could certainly not do without. That is for certain. So starting off, who's having a opposite weather day than I am in the fantastic state of Arkansas? Granny Hulkster, how are you doing, dear?
Well, I'm okay. I had an appointment to go to this morning, and about 9 o'clock it started a little snow flurries, and we're under a winter storm warning till tomorrow night around 6 o'clock, but no snow per se, but I've got probably about an inch of sleet in my front yard and sleet on the streets in good old Springdale, Arkansas. I did make it home from my appointment. I took my time. I didn't have really any problems, but by this afternoon, the roads in Fayetteville coming towards Springdale were getting mighty slick in spots, and my husband, God love him, he worked a 12-hour shift today from 6:30 this morning to 6:30 tonight, and he's got to turn around and go do that tomorrow, and I'm not sure if he's got to work on Friday or not, because Monday it's supposed to be back up in the 60s, but I want to give a special shout-out to my wonderful husband, David Burt. He will be 70 on Friday. Friday is his birthday, so happy birthday, David.
Outstanding. Happy birthday, David, from all of us here at Pop Culture.
I'm going to call shenanigans. I call shenanigans. Hasn't he had, like, four birthdays yet? Seems like every time I turn around, he's got a birthday.
No. I was just telling you all last week when I was on the show that his birthday was coming up. But his birthday is actually Friday. This Friday.
Yeah, that guy, he's Rajah Ghul. He must have dipped in the old Lazarus pond, because there's no way in hell that guy is 70. But nevertheless, a big happy birthday to that young man. Make sure you hook him up there, Granny Hulkster. Go ahead and get him. Well, especially the way he's been working here lately. Good grief. I mean, we ain't none of us getting any younger. Be pulling those 12 in, 12 out shifts. That stuff gets old quick. So,
for sure.
But, yeah, definitely pass on the big happy birthday from all of us here. Appreciate you joining us this evening.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, we're going to shift to the east. Not totally to the east. That's where I'm at. We're going to stop in that fantastic city of Indianapolis and introduce my good brother, Tim. What's shaking?
It's going to rain. No, I'm just kidding. We're actually going to get what Granny's experiencing. So I think we're in for some winter weather again. That's fun. It's fine with me. I don't care. It's going to be cold. Might as well be doing something cool outside. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm done working downtown for the week, so. Have at it. Other than that, I'm tired. As I was talking in the green room, my dumbass just ran 5 miles. I'm training for a little thing called the Mini Marathon. It's a pretty big deal here in Indianapolis. It kind of kicks off the the May season, where we have the Indianapolis 500. For those of you that aren't relatively close to the area or don't follow IRL, it's only the greatest spectacle in racing. But nonetheless, I did what's called a quote-unquote short run of 5 miles. I'll be doing an 8-miler this coming Sunday, so pray for me if you're into that. And other than that, I'm just up for a good show tonight, man.
Outstanding. Yeah, good to have you aboard. It's that running, you can have it. You know, the job tells me to sign up for a 401K, and I'm like, damn, if I'm running that far. That ain't going to happen. And I feel bad about the weather situation, man, because and I'll just tell you briefly, of course, I'm outside here in a pair of breeches and a T-shirt, enjoying a malt beverage and a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. And it's gorgeous. And yesterday, I'll tell you what I did yesterday, I took my fat Caucasian ass out to the beach, walked up and down the beach. It was cloudy. About 25-mile-an-hour wind. It's the kind of day that I go to the beach when 99% of the population looks outside and goes, I ain't going to the beach in that. I'm the guy that puts on his boots and goes, hot damn, my kind of day. So went out there and walked up and down the beach for about 4 hours. Now, it was closer to 3 hours. And got home, and I was wondering why my head kept itching. You know, I'm sitting there getting things together around the house, you know, and I was like, God, what the hell's wrong with my head? I will be damned if I didn't get a sunburn out there. So I would be willing to bet I am the only guy in Onslow County as we speak with a sunburn. Leave it to me to get it in February. But boys and girls, wow. Apparently sunlight filters well through cloudy skies because my head looks like a goddamn Christmas tree light. And so I lathered myself up in the damn aloe vera last night. And which is, if you own dogs, and you know, there's several schools of dog ownership. There's people that have dogs that sleep in kennels. You got dogs that sleep outside. I have no problem with admitting the fact that my dogs lay in the bed with me when I'm sleeping. They crash with me and the wife, or they'll crash in Rob's room. Because they are part of the family, so they will benefit as part of the family. But when you put aloe vera on your head, those dogs just want to get right there. I'm like, guys, aloe vera, quit. Stop it. I'm doing this for medicinal purposes. Quit sniffing my head. Quit sniffing my dome. Move on with your business, damn it. But yeah,
well, my son's little dog Mysterio, he's an indoor dog. My dogs, however, Maggie, who is our 16-year-old Basset Hound, and Rex, he is a Shepherd. They said he was a Shepherd Great Pyrenees mix, but he looks more like a color of a chow. He's got that curly tail like a chow does. So I'm not sure he's Pyrenees, and he's about a year and a half. Our dogs don't like to come inside. I mean, we have brought Maggie inside when it's gotten really, really cold, but they prefer to be outside.
Okay.
So, you know, now I can tell you a funny story. One time, Maggie had actually gotten inside the house, and David was on his way to go work, and she jumped up in the bed with me, and I guess she thought he was going to mess with me or something, and he went to get a hold of her collar to get her off the bed to take her back outside, and she snapped at him.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Like, you're not going to touch my mama. Now, when I'm down at Anthony's and I'm sitting in the recliner chair, and he's got this leather love seat, you know, that's got the recliner chairs on each side, which is really comfortable. We were watching Elimination Chamber with him the other day on the WWE Network. And
Papa Stro's in the queue.
Papa Stro's in the queue there, Dave.
We got it.
And so, anyways, Mysterio was laying next to me, and Anthony went to go lay down to take a nap, and he went to pick up Mysterio to take him in the bedroom to take a nap, and Mysterio growled at him like, you leave me with my grandma. I'm sitting with my grandma right now. My husband and my son say that I have brainwashed his dog. I haven't, but they say I have, and... But Mysterio really loves his grandma. I mean, my granddog is, I mean, I have no grandchildren of, you know, he's my granddog, and all my wrestling buddies that have got kids, they're all my adopted grandchildren. And I know Anthony's never going to get married, so I'll never officially have grandchildren of my own, so I just got to adopt people's kids that I know. You're going to see my adopted grandbaby.
Yeah, well, you know, all that. It's all
I got a few you can take on, Granny.
Say what?
I got a couple you can have. I'll ship them off
sure.
right away.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love
kids. They don't need that much. Yeah, if you ask my kids, they'll tell you that I take much better care of the dogs than I ever did them. Of course, the dogs never gave me so much shit either. So, yeah, the dogs run the house. So now, as alluded to, we have another panelist tonight.
Hello,
another
Drew.
Gentleman we could always never do without. My good brother, former classmate, and good friend. Papa Stroh, what's shaking?
Great to be with you guys. Granny with the spoiler on my introduction there, but yeah, great to see you. man, that's so funny. It was the biggest spoilers. Oh, my God. I was watching the Walking Dead premiere part two of the final series. They got so many titles now for this thing. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And I was kind of giving some of my views on what, you know, the episode. And oh, my God. You know, people came out of nowhere like, spoiler alert, oh, spoiler alert, right? And I was like, I would, you know, these smart aleck comment replies like, you know, hashtag happy Monday, right? and said, you just gave a spoiler. And I was like, hashtag, yep. If you don't want to spoil it,
well,
don't read.
I'm sorry
don't read
I
my,
ruined your
post.
Entrance, Stro. I was just so excited
no,
to
no,
have you on tonight.
No, you didn't ruin my entrance, Granny. No, I just thought it was funny. It was great. I'm blessed to be here.
Well, it just goes to show you how much you're loved around here at Pop Culture Stars, how much we love you.
Oh, I love y'all, too. And I just thought it was funny, you know what I mean, with the entrance and before you can get it out, I was like, hey, Stro!
Yeah, back on The Walking Dead, they're going to have to start doing those. It's turning into like CSI. Next, they're going to have to start naming them after cities. You'll have Walking Dead Indianapolis.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous,
Walking Dead
right?
Atlanta.
Oh, my God. I mean, and I'm thinking, come on, people, it's the final episode. I mean, excuse me, the final season, right? Part two. I guess it's in three parts now. I mean, so, I mean, I thought it'd be over way before now, but.
Yeah. As much of a Walking Dead fan as I am, that show just needs to be euthanized. I knew the minute they killed Carl off, that was going to be in spoiler.
Oh, wasn't it brutal? You know, Why? My God.
Yeah. It killed the whole dynamic of the show. And as, you know, as I've spoken on here before, being a writer, they have something called plot armor. You know, there are certain characters that you know are going to make it just because they're the basis of the story, you know. And,
right.
You know, there are certain points where you can bump a main character and it becomes part of the story, kind of like, you know, Game of Thrones or, let's say, The Godfather when Marlon Brando died.
Right.
You know, it's the integral part of the story. Though it may come off as a shock to the reader, it's still something, you know, that had to happen. But when it comes down to Carl's thing, the reason why they bumped Carl off is because the producers, specifically Scott Gimple, was muscling this kid because he was wanting to go to college and his contract was up. And he said, I still want
to do
the show.
Yeah.
But and they hardballed him instead of letting the kid go to school and helping him out. They hardballed him. And
God forbid you get the education.
Yeah, exactly. And that's basically what they did. They said, run off and get your education, ass bag. We'll just bump you off. And I knew that Andrew Lincoln, that what a lot of people don't understand about Andrew Lincoln is before he was Rick Grimes, this guy was stage. This guy was British stage actor. He wasn't some grabastic. You know, this guy was legit. And you know, he's not going to act. He's not going to be party to something if it doesn't fulfill the acting mojo that you get as an actor. In other words, he plays for the love of the game, not playing for the love of the money. And I knew the minute they bumped off Carl that he wasn't going to stick around for that because it killed his dynamic being Rick.
It sure did.
And, and I remember when they bumped Carl off, when Carl showed he had a bite, I told Dale, I said, this is it for the show. I said, this is the beginning of the end. So, but funny, talk about spoilers. Years ago, I got on Facebook when the big cliffhanger about who Negan was going to clobber. I had gotten on Facebook and just made some grabastic post, and I says, here's my prediction. You know, just like you predict your bowl or whatever else. I say, here's my prediction. Negan's going to clobber two people. And I think it's going to be, Jesus, here goes another 50-year-old problem right here. Names just totally disappear on you. The Korean guy.
Glenn.
You don't have to be 50 to have that problem.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's getting worse and worse. But I said, Glenn's going to get it, and Abraham's going to get it, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if that didn't actually what happened. So I'm watching the episode. I was like, oh, shit, I actually caught something right. Dude, I had some guy get on there and accuse me of working for AMC and that I
know.
did you
really?
See that? I don't know if you saw it or not, sure, but I mean, this guy was actually on his page calling me a fraud and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, dude, I don't even know who the hell you are. And I can tell you this, if I did work for The Walking Dead, if I did work for AMC, I damn sure wouldn't be carrying on conversations with you. You know?
Oh, no.
I was like, what the hell's wrong with these people, man?
It's a good thing they ain't writing the script. Dear Lord, I can only imagine what the show's like then.
Kidding. Christ forbid, you know? But, it's time for that show to go ahead and,
What I was complaining about that episode basically was, you know, Maggie, the storyline where Maggie is like pretty much dividing people into this Alexandria group, you know, and she's running Negan off. Negan said, the hell with this, I'm out of here, right? And now she's pissed off Daryl. And then next day they did another time jump, right? Like so many months later. And next thing, here's Daryl, it's a stormtrooper. I mean, how the hell did this happen? I mean, Daryl's like the ultimate rebel, loner, right? You know, and now he's like dressed in the CRM stormtrooper outfit. Yo, what's going on here?
And, you know, for me, I'm watching it, and I'm going, okay, so, you know, you got the zombie apocalypse, and we're doing all we can just to feed ourselves. But yet somebody was able to procure some shiny white armor for these guys. And, you know what I mean? I'm like, is there a Kevlar plant still running in the zombie apocalypse? You know, it's how in the hell they get the materials?
Like, the Boba Fett deal, the series, right? They're on a desert planet, Tatooine, and all of a sudden there's like these Power Ranger teenagers with these moped dance feet. Like, where the hell these guys come from?
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is this, you know? And it just takes away from the survival horror aspect of the whole thing. And I said, you know, there's always two sides to every story. And as I've joked before about, like, Star Wars, okay? If you pull for the rebels, Luke Skywalker is a hero. If you pull for the Empire, Luke Skywalker is a terrorist.
Right.
So you've got Andrew Lincoln, who was a, air quotes, good guy, even though he did some sketchy stuff throughout the series. So why not take Negan and put him in charge of it? Because he's one of the only characters that could carry the show right now, and have him lead the group but you lead it Negan's way instead of Rick's way. So you're kind of showing the other side of the coin where Rick had a habit of giving people the benefit of the doubt. Now they're being led by Negan, a guy who doesn't give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, and
right.
as it is right now, it's just scrambled eggs. And they're another thing that got into the woke thing. You know, they had to have every demographic represented. And what they did is they got too many damn characters in there now. And none
of
them are endearing. They just have some characters you attach yourself to. There's really none of them in there that I'm attached to anymore, with the exception of Negan. But he, you know, he ain't getting no screen time. So,
You know, Gabriel's like one of the few people I've somewhat taken a liking to because he's actually grown a set. As of late, he's not taking any crap anymore like he used to. But and he was like one of the few characters in that show. I was like, okay, all right, I can, you know, I'm digging it, right? But these other guys, man, what in the world?
Yeah.
So jumping back to the Star Wars thing that you mentioned, I think it's funny how you're talking about depending on which side, you know, you would side with. And I love Family Guy's interpretation. If you've ever seen, you know, I think I mentioned it last week too, but Family Guy, when they did their take on Star Wars, and it showed a couple of just like average guys, they were the ones that were working. They were like with the Death Ray thing, you know, and the Death Star, that Ray thing. They're talking about their 401k. I love that part.
401k, yeah.
Because they didn't have a handrail on the Death Star. They were just standing there.
Right. You know, I've been too crazy about the Marvel phases in their films, you know, but the one thing that I'm kind of getting behind is now you hear more about the multiverse, and which apparently Doctor Strange has opened up, you know, with the new movie Multiverse of Madness, right? And it's cool because it opens up a whole opportunity do a bunch of new things, right? Like alternate versions of certain superheroes and villains, right? So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and it gives opportunity for connective tissue with all the properties that they got from Fox. You know, your Deadpool, your X-Men, your Fantastic Four, that kind of stuff. And it legitimizes those films in an odd way. So, in other words, now when you watch those films, you're going, okay, that's the Magneto from this universe.
Right.
The one thing that scares me about the multiverse, and I think that some people in Hollywood are starting to realize it, but this woke stuff does not work. And I carry on about it all the time. It's disingenuous as hell. To suddenly, when you haven't been doing something all along, okay, and let's say your wife says, you never pick up your shoes, and then for the next year, every time a pair of shoes hits the floor, be it yours, hers, or the kids, you're running over there grabbing the shoes and putting them up. That's disingenuous. You're being a wise ass, is what you're being. Had you been just picking up your shoes like a normal human being all along, she wouldn't have had to say something to you. So when it comes down to this woke stuff, the fact that we've got to have a check sheet, and there's so many different categories of woke stuff now, and something I brought up the other day was, take, for instance, my son. My son's vision impaired, right? Well, now every show's got some kind of, you know, a deaf person on there, and they're doing the sign language back and forth. And I said, well, that's great for the deaf folks, but my son can't see that shit. So there you go. There's another demographic we need to fill. Now we need to have a blind kid walking around the damn thing just to make it even. So, you know, when you get this woke stuff going on, my fear with the multiverse is that they're going to start contorting things. And I think as long as Favreau and Feige and them stay in charge of it, I think we're good because they get it.
Right.
But before you know it, you know, they could come in and say, okay, well, in this universe, you know, Mr. Fantastic is actually a woman, transgender woman, who was once once a woman, and now she's wanting to be a mister. So it's Mr. Fantastic, but she's female. Or she's female. And the Hulk is a, you know, a homosexual Muslim, you know what I mean, where they'll just take things. And instead of creating new heroes and in creating new original thoughts and personalities and characters, they're just going to take other characters and contort them with it. So hopefully it won't come to that. I think they're heading down the right road right now.
The new Spider-Man movie just blew that narrative way out of the water. I mean, it was awoke, and it was like one of the greatest Marvel movies since Endgame.
Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air. It was, because
it amazing.
Didn't leave all that stuff to the side, and actually kept things, you know, entertaining instead of feeling like you had to. You're getting a lecture.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was more story. Yeah. It was more story than narrative. You know what I mean? And that's the way it should be.
Right. You know, and take for instance, you know, when you watch Winter Soldier and Falcon, man, I'm watching that and I'm thinking about, you know, and they kept just pressing on the whole "if you're white, you hate black people" thing, and I'm like, that's not true. That is hardly the case, and I know a lot of people think, oh, you live in North Carolina, you guys must walk around in, you know, white robes all the time. No, that is hardly the case. Folks around here, at least ways the folks that I take company with, they look at people of who they are, and they can care less their color, their sexual orientation, their national origin, whatever. They look at the person that they are. You know, if they're good people,
yeah,
ain't nobody cares about what they do on their free time or what color they are.
No.
We're just trying
to make a living.
Yeah. And as I always say, you know, you can call me a bigot all afternoon long if you want to. It's just a word. But if I'm having a heart attack and an ambulance pulls up and three Muslim Asian gay guys fall out the back of that ambulance, they're my best friends.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I'd be kind of questioning why three Asian gay men or whatever are popping out of an ambulance, to be quite honest with you.
Gay men.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a little downtime, you know, and they had a few things they had to take care of prior to saving my life. But, you know, as long as you wash your hands before you start saving my life, that'll be fine.
Right. Are you sure that's glucose you're putting in my mouth right now, bud?
Yeah, I was going to say, please do not do CPR on me. But just one of them things, just small request. But, well, that kind of brings us to tonight's topic, because I think the woke thing actually falls into the category that we were going to tackle tonight. And it's actually a conundrum for me, man. And now I'll just get right to it. The Olympics. All right. Now, yeah. Now, you remember, they're used to, you know, we was in school and they had an Olympics, man. I mean, it was actually news. And, like, it would be covered in the classroom every day, what was going on in the Olympics. And, you know, every 4 years, and that was back when they had the winter and the summer in the same year, instead of doing that two-year switch thing, they were doing it every 4 years. We knew we had minute-to-minute updates. This was before the Internet. Minute-to-minute updates on the medals, who won, and we knew the names of the people competing. You know, we were actually pulling together and cheering in the classroom when somebody won a medal. And a lot of times they used to have the TV running with the stuff on there. You know, the teacher would just call it a planning day, and we'd turn on the Olympics, and we'd watch Olympics sitting there in the classroom.
Right.
So now the Olympics are on, and I don't even bother watching it. And I will say this, that the Winter Olympics kind of runs a little different than the Summer Olympics. It seems like you've got a whole hell of a lot less of the pissing and the moaning and the whining and the, you know, America sucks stuff in the Winter Olympics. So perhaps I haven't given the Winter Olympics a fair shake, but I actually feel like I have to watch it and I have to pull for the United States as part of my patriotic duty as an American citizen. But on the flip side, like the Summer Olympics, it's very hard for me to watch people not embrace the flag. You're on the world stage. You live in the greatest nation on the planet. And you want to sit up there and bow your head, or you want to take a knee, or you want to do whatever nifty little gesture you want to do to say that America sucks. But it's neat because here in America, you could get a bronze medal and you come back and you're celebrated as a hero, where there's some nations that the Olympic team or the Olympic athlete wins a bronze and comes home and finds his entire family dead and is waiting and is awaiting execution upon getting off the plane back home. So I haven't watched a minute of the Olympics. I didn't even watch curling. Usually I watch curling just because it's funny watching them with the Swiffers and everything. I need those guys to come clean my floors. I bet you they have that thing looking sharp, dude, because they get out there with a little Swiffer thing. But, you know, I feel like a jerk for not watching it from an American standpoint, not waving my little flag. And on the flip side, I don't know any of the people that are competing. It's just a strange phenomenon. And then you talk about how the ratings dropped off drastically, and I'm thinking, okay, well, it can't just be me, you know?
Right.
So what do you all think?
Well, I didn't watch very much. I didn't watch any of it. I mean, because my schedule was so busy that was one reason why I didn't watch it.
I could give a bunch of smart-ass answers about why I didn't watch it, but if I really dissect it, in all honesty, I think that I can think back to years when I was all into watching the Olympics, and I have a feeling most of it, to be quite honest with you, is the different time zone that it's in. And they now have, you know, with cable blowing up and all the different stations, they spread it out. And they do this crap where they air different events on different channels. And I feel like they didn't always have that luxury, so they would potentially tape stuff and then just air it later on the same channel. So it was like whenever you turned on the TV on one of those networks, you were watching the Olympics, and it was cool. And they did a good job of, you know, formatting it and everything, and it was easy to get into. The other reason, which will still sound like a smart-ass answer, and I suppose could be interpreted that way, but again, it's a genuine answer, is I think it's because I used to watch more because I could tolerate more because I used to drink. I could watch anything on TV as long as I had my favorite alcoholic beverage in hand. But, you know, my wife put on Dateline, and I'd be like, hell yeah, let's watch some 60 Minutes. Let's watch some Dateline. All right.
60 Minutes.
You know, if I don't have that alcoholic, don't have that beverage in my hand, then hell no. I'm like, I'm not watching this garbage. That's why anymore all I do is I put on movies or, you know, I'll stream some show, which, by the way, I did finish Ozark, so I'm all caught up there. But that's, you know, my honest answers. But yeah, I'm with you, man. This time around, I think I ended up watching a little bit of curling, even though I still don't know. As simple as the damn concept is, I really don't understand the scoring of it, and I never bothered trying to look it up. And I think I saw some skiing, but it's like maybe it's just kind of getting boring to me also the older I get. I don't know. It's like they're all doing the same thing, and it's who can get inches farther. I mean, there's not really any difference in it, you know. So, like, the whatever they call the event, I don't know, this long jump, whatever. So, you know, I watched some of that and maybe a couple other events, but it was kind of boring. And I had no idea that it started. I mean, of course, they tried to hype it up during watching, you know, Super Bowl, playoffs, whatever. They're all about, oh, the Olympics, they're coming. You're going to, oh, yeah, the Olympics. And I never knew it started. And I'm pretty sure it ended, and I never knew it ended. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, my thing with the Olympics this time around is, I mean, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but those Olympic athletes work so hard from childhood up to adulthood, and it's like, instead of being about agenda, it should be more about the athletes and the competition around the world.
And the success.
And,
Very true.
And yep, that's what turns me off from the recent Olympics is that, you know, I'm watching to see the athletes do their thing, to represent their country, and to give the best performance possible. You know, I could care less about the narratives and agendas they try to push down our throats while watching this thing. So, you know what I mean? That's why that all that other stuff kind of turns me off, because, I mean, that's not like what the Olympics should be all about.
Yeah, you know, and the question has to be asked. That's a good point, Stro. And if you are a receiver on a football team and you are thinking, you are focused on your end zone celebration, okay, and when the ball is thrown to you, you drop it. You all know why you dropped it? It's because you were too damn busy thinking about the celebration than to concentrate on catching the ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these, especially in the Summer Olympics, a lot of these athletes went into the Summer Olympics going, well, you know, I'm not going to stand up for the national anthem, or I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And here they were, you know, they were supposed to win the gold and totally smoke the field, but instead they won a bronze. You want to know why they won the bronze? Because they were too busy concentrating on their little grabastic protest than what they were concentrating on getting the job done.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if you want to be a pissant bad enough, you can be a pissant. And, you know, it just, I don't know. For me, again, it just seems, like I said, here in the United States, you don't have to worry about failing and coming home to a firing squad. I mean, wasn't it in Iraq, was it Uday or Qusay or whatever one of Saddam's sons took the damn Olympic decathlon team out back and shot every damn one of them when they come back from the Summer Olympics because they didn't win a medal? Imagine that. You know, you are on a global stage racing against the best of the best of the best from each nation. Okay, the fact that you made it to the Olympics is a phenomenon to start with. These poor guys came back and took a bullet in the ass because they didn't win the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. For me, it's just, it bugs me a lot of times to see these athletes get up there. And you know, I'll put it to you this way. I was in Kansas City 2008. Yeah, I think it was 2008. I was in Kansas City. And now, Granny, I know you've been to Kansas City. Stro and Tim, I don't know if you guys ever been there, but right there in Kansas City, there's a place. You know where Kansas City, you know where Kansas City Live's at, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a convention center, and about maybe a 2 or 3 block walk, you come to a thing called Kansas City Alive. And what it is, if you could picture an outdoor mall with pubs and eateries, it's pretty nifty setup. It's well lit. It's policed. It's clean. You can go out there and have the time of your life. at this thing. They got piano bars. They got all kinds of stuff going on in this thing, right? Well, they have bands playing in this. They got this big atrium, this big center spot, and they'll have bands playing and blah, 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 blah. So this one night, 2008, I was there. It was during the Summer Olympics, and the band is playing. And, you know, they're playing your normal 70s, 80s fare. Well, they stopped in the middle of a song because overhead on this great big Titantron, they were showing the Olympics. Well, they stopped playing in the middle of a song because, Jesus Christ, here I go with the names again. The swimmer that won like 400 medals in 2008.
Phelps,
that's it. He was getting on
Michael
there.
Phelps.
And, I mean, this guy was pulling more gold than a metal detector at the time. So they stopped playing. They actually turned up the volume on, they switched over the speakers that the band was playing on and connected it to the Titantron so we could hear it, right? This guy's swimming. He hasn't even won yet. And, I mean, the whole place is rocking. USA, USA. I mean, the whole place is thundering with people mm-hmm. cheering for this guy. And he wins the gold medal. That whole place went apeshit, man.
Mm.
And actually felt good. You know what I mean? You felt like you're standing there and you just wanted the damn, you know, you're wearing a green shirt and you're like, God damn it, why don't I wear a red, white, and blue shirt tonight? You know, it felt good to be an American. You know, it actually gave you that warm fuzzy. And, you know, you think now you advance things to, you know, the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, what, last year before, you know, 12 years later. Hey, how many people are going to be rattling the floor chanting USA when you stand up there and you want to, when they play the national anthem, you stand up there with your head down and all this kind of crap? I mean, it just, I don't know, for me, it takes away that warm fuzzy you get when your team wins. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's,
yeah, you represent the whole country, not just representing you. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
That's just like if you have a grievance, that's like the wrong time to show it. I mean, there's times and places to express your ideology and frustrations, but that's not the time.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
And
it's like going to a funeral and you see the guy laying in the casket. And instead of saying, man, it sucks so-and-so passed on, man, you know, God, you know, Godspeed, you stand in front of his casket and go, you know, if he didn't smoke like he did, man, he wouldn't have died from lung cancer. You know, you don't do that stuff at people's funerals, and you don't do that. Like you said, if you're pissed off at the United States for whatever reason that might be, that's fine. I'm not real happy with the U.S. right now as it is either, but nevertheless. It doesn't mean I'm pulling down the flag, and it doesn't mean mm-hmm. that I don't put my hand over my heart and stare at the flag when 93 seconds of the greatest song ever written in human history is playing. So take your grab-assed opinion and agendas, and, you know, as The Rock would say, hold it up real nice. Turn that thing sideways and shove it up your canny ass, because, the world stage ain't there for it, you know?
I blame the media. Just like you go back to Michael Phelps, media screwed that up because the dude, how'd the story go? It's been a hot minute, so I don't really remember a whole lot about it. But something about he either popped on a test or a photo came up of him smoking a joint. Who gives a shit? The dude got high. Like, it's less lethal for you than alcohol. I mean, who cares?
Right.
And nobody would have even known had the media not blown it out of proportion in the first place. And then they're going to turn right back around and say, well, he's a role model. He shouldn't be doing. Well, shit, nobody would have known about it unless you assholes would have, you know, threw it all over the place.
Exactly.
In the meantime, Bill Clinton's getting a Hummer in the Oval Office, and everybody's going, Ah, well, shucks, you know. Just a blowjob. I mean, really. Who takes gore here? Yeah, come on.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see. Don't mind me.
Oh, man.
Is that another intern under your desk, Mr. Clinton? Oh, shucks. I figured she stayed under the desk. You guys wouldn't see her, but I guess y'all saw the look on my face. But,
all right. This warrants the Monica Lewinsky joke that I know of. I know I've said it on here, but it's been several months, so I might as well. That was a pretty good prompt for it, so I might as well say Monica Lewinsky, she goes into a dry cleaner's, you know, once upon a time. But the guy there was a little bit hard of hearing, so she's trying to explain, you know, what she wants done, and him being hard of hearing, he says, come again? And she says, no, just a little mustard this time.
Yeah. And the damnest thing about it is that now she's, like, does, like, motivational speaking gigs and that kind of jazz. She's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hold it against her. I can't even imagine. But she's writing books that goes to the bestseller list, and she's doing this motivational speaking stuff, and it's like, so... Let's just say I've been living under a rock for the last 40 years. I crawled out. So what was it you did, Ms. Lewinsky? I sucked the president off in the Oval Office. Really? Oh, wow. Shucks. How many years did you go to school for that? You know, it's... you know, it's like, oh, God. You know, some people just have the ability to step in shit and come up smelling like a rose. In the meantime, there's somebody else over here that shakes a dude's hand, and their entire reputation is ruined, you know, because did you see her shake his hand? Oh, my God. You know, it's just, but, of course, we're also in an age now where we're looking at, you know, where every day when you flip the news on, they're talking about Kanye and Kim Kardashian, and they're split.
Nice.
And I'm going to tell y'all something about the two of them splitting up. Tonight, I got home late from work and didn't have anything for dinner. I was like, ah, shit. So I jumped in the truck. I was going to order Domino's, but Dale's on keto, and I refuse to eat Domino's pizza in front of somebody trying to do keto. So, you know. She's on a diet. The whole world's on a diet. So I go to Walmart, and I buy one of them prefab nasty-ass $8 pizzas they got for me and Rob to have for dinner. Why did I tell you that? Because that pizza gives more of a shit about Kanye West and Kim Kardashian than I do.
The only thing that I could possibly enjoy listening to about those two is if they were both in a car and I ran over a cliff, then I might enjoy listening about the story.
Yeah. Talk to me about the screams. Yeah. These people got, I mean, they got zillions of dollars and still can't get their head out of their ass. And I'm thinking, man, you know, If I had $1 million, I'd be the Pope for fear that I would get the damn money taken from me. You know what I mean? I guess it's because, you know, when you hit rock bottom, you know how hard the ground is. But, man, I don't know. And the fact that it's actually covered on the national news. Who gives a shit? Nobody cared when I went through my divorce. You know? Nobody gave a damn about that. Except for her lawyers. But, I mean, hey, that's a whole different ball of wax. But, I mean, yeah, the media, and going back to what you were saying about Michael Phelps, you know, they had to demonize the guy somehow. Because he's taking pictures wrapped up in the American flag. with all the gold bling bling hanging off his neck. They had to find a way to demonize this guy because he was the epitome of the American dream. He worked his ass off, and he became the best. And that's what this country is all about, the opportunity to have the best possible. But you can't just sit and wait for it to happen. You, unless you're a Kardashian, of course, then you're just kind of born into it. But you can go out there and work at it and become something incredible here in this country. And there's other countries on the planet where you can't do it because you might get hacked in your sleep by a machete, or you might die of starvation, or maybe perhaps exposure to cold or extreme heat, or maybe you just end up going to school one day and a bunch of drug guys damn riddle the bus full of damn bullets because you got caught in the wrong place the wrong time. Here in the United States, you work at it, you become the greatest. So we have to demonize that. And that's the media's mantra right there. And that's why, you know, oh, and I smoke pot. Okay. All right. If this was 1946, that's headlines. But now, come on, man. You know, just, I don't know.
Yeah, I could envision, like, you know, like a scene in the Top Secret with Val Kilmer with Chocolate Moose, where he shot up the place, and the random guy just comes out of the scene, high fives him and says, "My man, right?" I could see them doing a report about somebody getting busted for smoking weed, and here comes Cheech and Chong come out of nowhere and like, yeah, far out, man, and like high fives them. You know?
Yeah, nobody had a problem with them smoking pot, right?
No.
Well, it was celebrated there. And you know what, this Winter Olympics thing, too, I brought it up in the green room. What's even worse about this Winter Olympics thing is that Norway whipped everybody's ass. Now, I know we have people, I can look at the map for our listenership. I know there's people in Norway that listen. All you Norwegian folks out there, please do not take this the wrong way, because we love you here at Pop Culture Stars, but I want to know how we can let a country the size of the state of Florida mop the floor with our collective American asses. Now, granted, they've got the edge in the Winter Olympics. I mean, you're not going to see them, you know, sweep in the Summer Olympics, for Christ's sake, not from Norway. But they put it on everybody. Russia, China didn't do shit. That was pretty interesting. China hosted the thing, and they didn't even show up for the damn thing. So riddle me that.
Must be something in the water and food up there.
Yeah, no kidding. Too much P.F. Chang's. Yeah, I...
They're too busy infiltrating the White House doing some kind of microwave shit to everybody's brains. I don't know if y'all heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did you see some of the rooms they were getting put up in? Where they were like in closets almost?
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wish it was back the way it was in the 80s. We actually look forward to the stuff. And another good example, and I think we're all long enough in the tooth to remember this, but the Jerry Lewis marathon, okay, the muscular dystrophy thing, okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Labor Day
now,
weekend.
Yes. And that was kind of the rite of passage because you knew your fat ass was going back to school after Labor Day. You know, and it was right back to the grind. The summer was over. So the Jerry Lewis telethon was the last hurrah, and you sat there, and that thing would start at like 5 o'clock in the evening, and you would try your level best to stay awake for the whole 24 hours. And granted, you know, you had Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all these guys on there. When you were eight, you didn't know who the hell these guys were. I'd probably get more entertainment watching them now because I know who Dean Martin and Sinatra and all these guys are. But, you know, you're sitting there and the whole mission is staying awake and waiting for them to show the new numbers, you know, whenever they put the new number total up, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It was an event. It was an actual thing where you're like, dude, hey, it's Labor Day, man. You know, the Jerry Lewis telethon's coming on. Shit, yeah. You know, you're over there busting your mom's chops about donating $10 so they would announce your name on local news and everything.
Come on, Ma, please.
Yeah, $10 back in those days. That was some skins. You know, hell, it still is now. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, has muscular dystrophy gone away? No, it's still out there. It's still out there. But yet, since Jerry Lewis has passed on, and of course they tried to piss all over his leg there towards the end of it too, you know, how they just totally erased that from, they don't even talk about it anymore. You know? And, you know, the Olympics was the same way. And Tim, you had alluded to it, is, you know, they would have, you know, take, for instance, like the ski jump would be going on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but they were showing hockey instead. Well, when the hockey game was over live, they would put the ski jump thing on next on a tape delay. And, you know, the cool thing was then is that you didn't have up-to-date, minute-to-minute results, so there was no spoilers. You didn't know who the hell was going to win the thing. But still, you know, it was on right around the clock. So when you're a 12-year-old kid watching the Olympics, hey, Mom, can I stay up and watch Olympics? How's Mom going to tell you no on a Friday night or a Saturday night? You know? So, yeah, it's I don't know. I think they've totally shit the bed on the whole thing. And I don't know if we're ever going to get it back, to be honest with you.
You know, with the media, you're going back to you talking about the media. They were doing an interview with Chevy Chase, right? And they were like, you know, don't you regret being so mean to the Saturday Night Live crew back in the day, right? and Chevy Chase, you know, he told him, you know what? I don't give a crap what you think.
Chevy Chase is kind of a dick, everybody. He admits it too. He's kind of a dick.
He was a lovable dick, though.
Yes, he was. And the Fletch movies? Yeah. The Fletch movies were pretty awesome, too, man. All of his movies all the day. Caddyshack, Fletch Lives, Vacation movies. Damn, man, that dude's funny as shit.
I never forget the Johnny Carson show he was on with Richard Pryor, and Richard Pryor was talking to Johnny about going to an event for his son, right? And Jimmy Chase was sitting next to him, and he made some smart aleck comment, and Richard Pryor just gave the look like he was going to punch his lights out, and you can see Johnny Carson hold and Jimmy Chase is like, oh, I'm just kidding, it's just a joke, right? And you can see Johnny Carson put his hand over Richard Pryor. He's like, you know, he's not worth it, man. He's not worth it.
Just let it be. Yeah.
You know, they had to get drunk. Him and Bill Murray had to get drunk on Caddyshack just so they can do that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did not like each other.
It's funny you mentioned that because here in the last day or so, I've watched a handful of videos about people, you know, talking about Chevy Chase and what a prick he is and this, that, and the other. And apparently there was one comedian told him to go F himself at some rap party for, God, what was the name of that sitcom he was just on here recently? God. I can't remember the name of it. Regardless, And he had, you know, told the guy, he told Chevy Chase to go F himself, right? And everybody got a bigger eyes out of it. Well, Chevy Chase got madder in hell and took his wife and his daughter, you know, and they left the party.
Right.
And he gets on the social media the next day and says, you know, I can't believe he'd say something like that in front of my daughter. Well, his daughter's like 49 years old.
You know, oh, wow.
If she ain't figured out that your old man's a dick, not in, you know, it's... It isn't like, you know, it was a 7-year-old kid or something. I mean, for God's sake, you know, it's...
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. That's,
I can imagine being on set with him, man. I can only imagine what it's like being on set with Chevy Chase.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that.
I heard he got into it with the chick from Caddyshack. I heard he got into it with her, too, or she was pretty upset, or he... I think he was getting upset with her during that scene.
Beverly D'Angelo? Oh, wow. Oh, she's a great actress, too.
I would like to be a fly on the wall, though, for some of these things. And, you know, having to be at the workplace, and we've all been there, you know, and all of our jobs, be it, you know, running the grocery store or wrestling or do IT stuff or whatever the hell we do. It's nothing worse than having that person in the office or in the workplace that you feel like you got to walk on eggshells around.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, you hear these stories about these celebrities that, you know, you can't look at them in the face. You know, that they'll only talk to two or three different people. you know, even the catering thing, you know, the water has to be a certain temperature and all that kind of jazz. It's like, man, it has just got to suck the life out of the workplace atmosphere when you got to deal with something like that. I couldn't possibly imagine it.
Oh, man.
Now, Stro, so, I could tell you.
The precip is starting here. I thought I'd give you, I was going to give a quick meteorology update. Apparently, the snow is starting, and I had to park my car over in the neighbor's driveway. And they're about a quarter of a mile away because of where I, not a quarter of a mile, I might be exaggerating a bit, but anyway, I get to walk my happy ass over there. So if I go on mute for a longer period of time, that's why.
Okay.
You're actually getting snow. Yeah, no kidding. In the meantime, me and Stroh's out here on the deck sitting here looking at the damn.
Yeah.
This weather's crazy here, man.
I'm the smart one living in the Midwest.
Yeah, you got
the
good stuff.
We're already getting the bugs down over here. I don't know about your house, Stro, but I'm already getting them damn mosquito hawks flying around. You know, the great big...
Yes, sir. I got the zappers going here.
Yeah. Man. And here it is. It's February, you know. Meantime, you know, Granny and Tim sitting there worried about snow and ice and sleet. I guess there's a yang for every yang. But yeah, it's, you hear these stories about some of these celebrities and, you know, take for instance, like these catering guys, you know, you hear about these stars throwing a fit at a caterer, you know, and I wanted Capicola. This was pastrami, goddammit. You know, how they can keep it. Yeah, how they can go about keeping a staff when you have to deal with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's, I often wonder, you know, with my books, I would be tickled to death to see my books on the big screen. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I was to tell you I don't care, it would be a big lie. And there'd be nothing more that would tickle me to death to see my characters right there in front of me on television or movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side,
It's like the film version would be the ultimate infomercial for your books, honestly. Because no matter how great the film would be, your books would be even better. You know what I mean? It's like the perfect commercial for you to check out your book.
Yeah, advertise.
Yeah, awesome.
But, you know, could you imagine where it's like, hey, I'm packing my bags, I'm going to the damn movie set because they're filming my book, and I go there, and I have to deal with, you know, an actor walking up to me with a tape measure, and where I'm sitting, he measures 6 feet off, and then stands there and says, don't get any closer to me, 6 feet. You know what I mean? Some of this childish stuff that I hear that happens on these movie sets, I'm like, God, you know, sometimes I wonder if I'm better off just being the anonymous guy who wrote a couple books and picks up my, you know, $20 in sales every damn month in royalties than to be a guy out there that's having to worry about, you know, dealing with conflicting egos and that kind of jazz on a movie set. I don't know. And to be honest with you, that's what makes the stuff like what you do, Stroh, and Ron Rossman and everything. You know, and for me, that it kind of pisses me off because you see somebody like you guys, and I'll put Ron on the spot, the amount of energy and heart that this guy puts into his projects. You know what I mean? And he's not getting the credit that he deserves by any means, nor is he getting the financial benefits of his hard work. You know what I mean? But in the meantime, they're making like the 25th Halloween movie. But you've got somebody out there like Ron that does it for the love of the game, man. And but of course, for all you know, if he was to ever hit it big and would go to Hollywood to take one of his ideas and put it on screen, he would probably go batshit crazy because, again, like I said, you'd have all these conflicting egos and all that kind of jazz and would sap the life out of the enjoyment of making a film, you know?
Yeah. And it makes you realize what a film goes through before it actually goes into fruition. You know what I mean? All the rewrites and all this other stuff. That the process of, you know, the process it has to go through. You know what I mean? And I've been on films where I'd be lucky to films or like a TV series or whatever, where I'd be lucky to get nabs at the catering, and then like other places, like in films, you get a meal that's like better than a Thanksgiving dinner. It's just crazy.
Okay.
It's so varied. It's so varied how the catering and different events I've been to.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy. Funny story with the wrestling thing from a few years back, right? I was traveling with Chris Benoit, right? And Harlem Heat and a few other guys, and you know, he was we didn't have time to eat or anything. We had to take a red eye from Nitro to do the Thunder taping the next day, right? And he was upset because we didn't get time to, you know, go train and work out in the gym, you know what I mean, prior, like we usually do, right? And he's like, how do you expect us to be athletes if we gave you training, right? You know, he was getting all heated. And the next day on catering, right, all they had was like dessert food and carbs and all that stuff. And he finally just grabs a pizza, the lasagna, puts it on his plate, says, all right, damn it, I'll be a fat boy today. He's on his junk food. And he had, I think one Sunday in a pay-per-view, right? All the guys like Goldberg and DDP and Sting and everybody, they were just pigging out on cake and pies and, I mean, it was the darndest thing, man. It was so funny. Ice cream. I mean, you name it.
That is a good question, though, with you guys. When you think about some of these guys with these, you know, I won't even get into the, you know, the juicing end of things, but these guys with these insane physiques, When you're traveling, and, you know, the WWE has always had the reputation for being the run your ragged division, whereas, you know, WCW was more kind of a family type of thing. Mm-hmm. They've got these guys on the road, what, 240, 250 days a year. How the hell do they get – I mean, how do they work out? So, I mean, let's say I'm fighting in Vermont tonight, and tomorrow mm-hmm. morning I'm fighting Chicago. So
right.
you figure all the hoopla going on in the airport, that's probably going to take 7 or 8 hours out of your day. So you get to mm-hmm. Chicago – you got to find a cab because you don't have a car, of course.
So oh, yeah.
You go to your hotel, wherever you're staying. How in the hell mm-hmm. do you have time to go to the damn gym? Because by the time you get settled in your hotel room, it's time to be the arena so you can do the fight that evening. You know,
well, we try to get to the towns, usually get to the towns early, really early. So we can hit the gym before, because, you know, we had to be in at the destination like really early. They wanted us there early because of doing pre-tapes and all that. And we had to regulate our eating too. Like we cut off our eating point around 3 o'clock would be the limit. You know, and we have time for food to digest before, you know, the event later on that night. And so, you know, we had to rent a car, take the rental car from the airport, get to our hotels, and we had a deal in certain hotels too, like Marriott's. The Marriott's, like Rick hooked us up with a deal with the Marriott's, right? Which is really cool. And so, just use that as an example, but we would kind of look up to find the nearest gyms that were near the hotel or near the area to go to, in case the hotel didn't have a decent gym to work out in. So.
Yeah, because I would figure that, you know, a wrestler wouldn't particularly care for a, you know, you go to a La Quinta or something like that, and they've got 2 treadmills and a, you know, and a NordaTrack or something like that. I mean, I would imagine that wrestlers, and again, the guys with the crazy physiques, they would require more sophisticated type of equipment and everything. But the imagine... Mm-hmm. It's got to be nonstop because of the travel, and like you said, you know, the eating time cutting off. Good grief, you don't want to eat, you know, 2 or 3 plates of meatloaf and then go over there and get slung around the ring for 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah, that's why I had to cut off time there. Yeah, so we get sick.
Yeah.
I know. I can't eat heavy. There's no way I could eat heavy before an event because I would. Oh God.
I would reckon. That's why when I hear these stories about these guys drinking beer, where I hear them drinking, you know, like a 12-pack before they get in the ring, you know,
right.
beyond the whole intoxication thing, let's just say they drank 12 waters before they got in the ring. Man, that stuff sloshing uh-huh. around in your belly and shit, I don't know how anybody could have kept, you know, going with something like that. I mean,
check this out with the horseman schedule. Oh, my God. They had the craziest schedule in the world. I know I couldn't have done it. They would go through their town, wrestle the event, party all night long, right? Wake up early in the morning, no matter where the heck they were at, be in the gym, and fly to the next town and do it all over again the next night. And, I mean, wow. I just, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and they're like the workhorses of the industry. I mean, they would make everybody look like $1 million too. I mean, just bumping around and, you know, making Luger and Sting look like Hercules and singing. You know, it's just nuts.
Yeah, because that's got to be it's definitely got to be a lifestyle adjustment. You know, when you think about that stuff, how these guys are able to, you know, maintain the physiques and the athleticism along with, mm-hmm. like you said, an eating schedule, a travel schedule, because, hell, I ain't got to tell you, you go to an airport and it's never the same thing twice when you go to an airport.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, this is a delay, that's a delay. You know, I know with us.
There are many times, sometimes I feel like when the airport's traveling, I feel like O.J. Simpson, those Hertz Rent-A-Car commercials, where he's jumping over the luggage and everything.
Yeah, and that actually happened. I was flying to Kansas City one time, and getting out of Charlotte, I flew from Wilmington to Charlotte with no problems at all. Got to Charlotte. It was raining like hell. So they delayed the flight. They delayed my first flight. So they said, we're going to put you on the second flight. Well, the second flight was delayed from where it was coming back from. So I didn't get that flight. So then there was like an eight-hour gap until next flight to Kansas City, right? So I'm still sitting there in Charlotte. And then finally, I get on a plane, and they fly me to Kansas City, right? I get there. There ain't shit. There's nobody there waiting on me. There's nothing. So I call up my supervisor, and I said, hey, I'm finally here in Kansas City. What do I do? They said, we're going to send somebody out to get you. I said, all right. So I sit there at the gate. Nobody ever shows up. Call the supervisor back. Nobody's here. It's been an hour. All right, well, hang on. No, I'm not going to hang on because I've already been hanging on. What do I do? They finally got somebody to me, and when they pulled me up to the Crown Plaza where I was staying, right there by the convention center, I walk in, and everything's just flat silent, and there's one guy sitting behind the counter. He's like, yes, sir. And I said, I'm Dave Atwell checking in, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, okay. Okay, here's your key, Mr. Atwell. And I go up to my room, and I look at the clock, and it's like quarter after one. And I said, that's fantastic. I got to be the convention center at 5.
Right.
and that's after getting up at 4 in the morning, the previous morning, to get to Wilmington. You know what I mean? So I'd already been up for 25 solid hours, you know, almost 24 straight hours. And now I've got to sleep, you know, for two or three, get up, shower, and then go sit through 12 hours worth of meetings the next damn day. Yeah. So, you know, when you go to an airport, man, it's amazing how these guys are able to coordinate everything with the amount of travel and everything else.
You just got to get those Z's when you can in between, you know what I mean? Those little power naps.
Yeah.
Days like that.
Yeah, whenever you can, close your eyes type thing. Yeah.
Right.
Unreal. But, yeah, that's it's definitely, you know, and you see some of these, that's why when you see some of these wrestlers that don't have the physiques, you know, you can't help but look at them and go, those are the smart ones. those are the guys that aren't giving it up. Those are the guys that are like, hell with this. My fat ass is going to eat. My fat ass is going to sleep. You know, it's
I don't know if I told you guys, I don't know if I told y'all the Mick Foley Ultimate Warrior story, right? But, oh, my God. So they're like, the Ultimate Warrior and Mick Foley, they're like in one of those cookie stores, you know what I mean? Like, they sell cookies, bakeries and all that, right?
Yeah.
And Ultimate Warrior buys his bag of cookies, right? And all he does, he opens his bag of cookies, he sniffs the inside, right? Kind of takes it in, right? And then he just leaves the cookies laying there on the counter and walks away. And Mick Foley goes over to the bag of cookies that Ultimate Warrior bought and he starts eating the cookies.
Man after my own heart right there. Yeah, I'm not leaving those cookies there. I'll eat the hell out of them.
Oh, bless them. But yeah, I mean, just the contrast of Ultimate Warrior and Mick Foley, the way they handled the cookie situation is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny. And for, you know, you talk about discomfort for the guy working at the cookie place. Here it is, the Ultimate Warrior standing in front back. Of you, and you're like, holy shit, the Ultimate yeah. Warrior. And he inhales your cookies and leaves them there, you know. It's like, did I do something wrong, you know?
Oh, God, hilarious.
Go home and tell your kids, you know, your kids see, you know, Ultimate Warrior, all that. You know, you're like, yeah. I rang up some cookies for him one day, and he sniffed them and left them. But Mick Foley ate them, you know.
Like, you know, every time I would have dinner with Lex Luger, right, he would always, like, push his food on me. And at first I was like, man, he's being awful generous. You know what I mean? Hey, thanks, right? But then I got to thinking, it's like, I know why he's doing this, because, you know, he thinks by giving me more food, he'll look more leaner. You know, I'm like, oh, man, come on.
He's going to plump you up a little bit. It looks like $1 million, you know?
Right.
Speaking of wrestling, I see that Tommy Rich is going to be joining the crowd down there in XCon.
Oh, man, that's so cool, man. We're going to see him again. Love
yeah,
Tommy.
Man. So it looks like a pretty fairly good lineup they got going down there. And, like,
yeah,
man, we'll get Brad and Jen here on the show and everything. And
oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good people.
Let them take the floor for the show and fill us in. But, yeah, it looks like a pretty decent lineup. One of the things I'm looking forward to, they've got John Turk and God, I feel so embarrassed because I can't remember her name. But, anyhow, they are the people who modeled for Sub-Zero, Sonya Blade, and Shao Kahn in the original Mortal Kombat. And,
oh, that's so awesome. Yeah.
And these people are my age and look amazing. So it'll be...
oh, man. What's their secret?
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Yeah. I mean, it's I could watch you eat food and I gain weight, you know? It's but, yeah, it'll be...
exactly.
It looks like a pretty fair lineup so far, so it'll be interesting to see what else they can... I haven't checked it in about a week to see if anything else got added,
isn't one of the guests, the lady, she used to be Wednesday Addams from the series, Addams Family? Is that mistaken?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so
Wednesday.
Cool.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that'll be another one of those ones, you know, it's iconic history, television history type stuff. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool as hell to go shake hands. And, you know, the cool thing about XCon versus, say, you know, your GalaxyCon, not taking anything away from the bigger things, but the smaller cons, they have a way of being a little more personal, I guess is what I'm getting at. And,
right.
You know, the larger cons, take for instance, like, you know, GalaxyCon. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus at all, but I'm just using them as an example because of their size. You know, you set a table up and, you know, let's say I'm just using a hypothetical here. Let's say Jim Duggan is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or a wrestler that Stro you would be particularly friends with, you know, through your Cauliflower Alley or just, you know, from being on the road with them, blah, blah, blah. And you go to
right.
say something to him. You've got two of these volunteers walking up. You can't talk to him. Wait a minute. Me and this guy drove millions of miles across the United States together. I'm just going to say, you know, hello to him. I haven't seen him, you know, in a year. Well, who are you?
Right.
It doesn't matter who the hell I am. Whereas these smaller cons, you actually get an opportunity to kind of just say hi. You know, it isn't
right.
It isn't schmooze time. It isn't, hey, will you sign my shirt? You know, it's not that. It's just, you know, hey, good to see you, man. You know, man, I'll say I love your work. You know, and move on about your stuff. And a lot of times I've learned that the smaller shows – I walk away with more from the smaller shows. It's the smaller shows where, you know, where you meet the Dangos and, you know, the Strohs and the Chrissy Lessies and all, you know, all these kind of people that you end up having lasting relationships with. And X-Con's one of them. X-Con's always been a personable kind of event. So looking forward to all the mayhem down there. Plus, it's in Myrtle Beach. You can't go wrong with that.
Yes. Oh, Myrtle Beach, yeah. Man, can't beat that.
Well, I know in Rogers, Arkansas, March 19th and 20th, they're doing a NWA Comic-Con. And I know Booker T and Ted DiBiase is supposed to be in attendance there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
No kid.
I love both those guys, Booker and Ted, man. Great, good people.
And then when we go to WrestleCon, we're going to go one day to WrestleCon. When we go to Texas for WrestleMania, I know Tommy Wildfire Rich is one of the attendees that's supposed to be in attendance there at WrestleCon.
Well, that should be
there's
a good time.
There's a huge lineup of that's going to be at WrestleCon. I've got to go in and look and see who else they've added recently since I looked the last time. But I know Ricky and Robert's supposed to be there. Ted DiBiase and Booker T, I think, is supposed to be there. And Ted DiBiase Jr. and, oh, my gosh, Gail Kim, Mickey James, Nick Aldis. I mean, there's just a huge lineup of people. So Rob Van Dam, I think Rob Van Dam's even supposed to be there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Rob's great. I've had some classics with Rob Van Dam over the years, man. He's awesome.
Ron Simmons is supposed to be there. And
oh, Rob.
Tully Blanchard and J.J. Dillon. And I think Arn Anderson is supposed to be there, too. So there's a bunch of people that I'm looking forward to meeting that I wouldn't normally get to meet. And, of course, I hope I get the chance just to say hi to Ricky and Robert and Ron again, you know, because since I have met Ron Simmons before, and, you know, I'm friends with Ricky and Robert because I've met them, seen them several different times at different wrestling events, and we're looking forward to that.
Sounds a good time. Man,
I just want Ron to go, damn. I love that.
I got a funny story to share with you guys. When my husband David and I met Ron Simmons and Tony Atlas at an autograph signing about 3 years ago, we were at the Cherokee Casino in Roland, Oklahoma. And Tony Atlas comes walking in and he says, I've been seeing all these little green people walking around the casino. And you know what they call them? They call them Martians. And they take you on their spaceship, and you can't come back until the cow jumps over the moon.
Oh, Dr. John, I love this story.
Still, he had that crazy, you know, that crazy laugh of his.
So
when my husband and I went to get our picture taken with him, I was going to have him stand in the middle, you know, and me on one side and David on the other. He says, oh, no, baby. He says, Granny, you got to be in the middle, black and white and plenty of loving all night. But I got to tell you, the question he asked my husband, he says, can I give you a kiss? I've never kissed a man with a beard before.
No, Lord.
Tony Atlas is having a trip.
And my husband's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think he knew really what to say. But and then when I had the opportunity to get to talk to Ron, he told me, he says, well, he asked me how I got the name, you know, and I told him the story, you know, and everything. He says, well, Granny, I got to tell you, he says, you are that true fan that we don't see hardly anymore, you know, at wrestling events. You know, he says, you are that true fan. And I took that as a very humbling compliment. I mean, because Ron Simmons was just absolutely, him and Tony Atlas, they were both so nice. And
yeah,
I just,
that's
it was
cool.
So
yeah,
much fun getting to meet them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, talk about the smaller cons, and had you met them at a larger con, you'd have never had that experience, because at the larger cons,
you're almost on a conveyor belt.
Right.
And this wasn't even a con. This was just an autograph signing that they did. You know, we got to hang out with them. We got to talk to them on a one-to-one basis. You know, it was just an autograph signing.
Awesome.
I mean, it was kind of like the year that we met Lanny Poffo and Shark Boy and Kamala, you know, and Cowboy Bob Orton. I mean,
oh, what a crew.
You know, yeah. I mean, I remember getting one of Lanny's books, one of his poetry books that he had written, and he autographed it to me and everything. And it was awesome. It was really awesome.
Yeah, because when you go to the bigger cons, I know when I met Charlotte Flair at GalaxyCon, I had a totally different opinion on her after I met her, because she was so nice, so endearing. But it was like, you get up there, and the moment you get to know her, they're shoving you along, because there's another $70 to make for the guy in line behind you. Whereas, Kate and Stro, like I said, I always throw age on me and you, because we're a year apart from one another. We only grew up together and everything. But
Yeah.
Not that we'll claim it, but, you know, nevertheless, you know, when you got Jimmy Valiant to come out to, you know, the Cape Fear Con there in Wilmington. You know, here's a guy, mm-hmm. when I was a 12-year-old kid, every time they'd play that obnoxious-ass Manhattan Transfer song, I, as a 12-year-old kid, would get up on my feet. And I'd be, hell yeah, because Jimmy Valiant come out there. And, I mean, he's out there stirring the crowd up. He's got the beard going. He's got the top hat, you know. So here we are. It's, you know, 35 years later, we're at Cape Fear Con, and everybody's setting up. And I was across from Valiant, where I was setting my table up. And me and him just start shooting the shit. And, you know, just idly chatting back and forth. I introduce him to Dale and the whole damn nine yards. And so anyhow, you know, we get everything set up and everybody, you know, keeps working around. Well, he comes up to me and he says, Dave. And I says, yeah, what you got? He says, I need to take me a nap. You know, my truck's out there. I'm going to go lay down on my truck, take a nap. About 10 minutes before the show starts, can you come beat on the window and wake me up? And I was like, yeah, shit, I got no problem with it. Here, point to your truck. So he pointed to his truck. I said, right on, man. So he goes out there. And so, of course, you know, I set my phone, and at 10 till, you know, it buzzes. And I'm like, all right, I got to run out there and wake up, you know, Valiant. So I go out there and thump, 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 boogie, boom, 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 boogie. And he's like, hell. I said, buddy, we got about 10 minutes, sir. And go, Brother Dave, man, I sure appreciate it. I'll be right in there in just a second. If I ain't in there 5 minutes, come back and get me. I says, yeah, no sweat, man. Sounds good. So I come back in, and, you know, he comes in, he waves at me, gets to his table and everything. So throughout the show, we were taking a break, and I get a text from my dad, and it says, how's the show going? So I walk outside and I call my dad and I says, you're never going to believe this shit. I said, but, you know, I was Valiant's alarm clock. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where it's like, if I could jump the time machine and go back to the 12-year-old me and say, hey, keep your nose clean, fly straight, in another 35 years, you're going to actually be waking this guy up in his truck and he's going to know your name. He's not going to call you dude or buddy. He's going to call you Dave. You know what I mean? And that's, had it been a bigger con, I wouldn't have never gotten that experience because I'd never been able allowed to get near them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
That's why I'm looking forward to XCon because, and now even with the Millers running it, it's more of a family thing, man, because Miller's part of our crowd. So, I'm really, really looking forward to it and curious to see who else they add, to the lineup because it's looking pretty sharp. Not to mention the fact that I had seen a particular Strobe picture in that lineup. Pretty sharp pick of you, young man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Look, those promo photos look really cool, by the way, those XCon promo photos of everybody.
I can't take a picture to save my ass. Every picture I take, I look like a damn serial killer in. Not to say that I don't look a serial killer anyway, but, I mean, every time I take a picture, I look like Shrek. I just cannot take photos to save my ass. So I've got to take something new anyway because now that I shave my head, all of my promo pictures are me with the damn mullet. So, you know, people are going to be walking around, where's this at, Will, asshole? I see this bald-headed prick over here. So I got to get some new pictures made. And so, of course, it'll involve me standing there and taking 600-700 pictures on my phone and then pouring through them like the judges on American Idol until I could get down to that last one that makes me look the least creepy and go with that one. So, yeah, looking forward to it, man. It's always a blast. I think it's really going to take an uptick to, you know, I know I keep tooting their horn and everything, but the Millers are good people. They got huge hearts, and I think it's really going to reanimate that con because it was, you know, 8 years ago, that con was phenomenal, man. Probably one of the best ones I get to go to. And, you know, towards the end there, kind of started languishing a little bit because the interest was wearing off the organizers and everything. But now, you got Jen and Brad going at it. I think it's really going to supercharge the damn thing. So looking forward to it, man.
I can't wait. Right.
So bearing in mind that we are in extra innings, I guess it's time to euthanize the show. But before we do that, of course, we always go around the room and get our parting shots from everybody. And so we won't fail that program tonight. And as always, I always start with Stroh, just because Stroh's got the most going on. Now, maybe perhaps one day when, you know, Tim hits it big as a porn star or Granny turns heel, maybe we'll let them go first because they'll have more going on than the rest of us. But as we...
Granny is not turning heel, Dave. Don't go there. Do not go there. Ain't going to happen.
Notice I'm not denying your prediction for me.
One can dream, Granny, someday.
Well, you all can dream all you want, but it's not going to happen, guys. I mean, it's just not going to happen. That's just not my forte is being heel, you know. So I may be able to talk smack to the bad guys, but that doesn't mean that Granny's turning heel, okay?
She might turn Achilles tendon or turn ankle, but she won't turn heel.
By her own admission, there's still hope because, you know, her interpretation of bad guys could be good guys later on. So,
well, you know, not going to happen, guys. I'm not going to go there. So. I'm going to stay on the good side of everything.
Yeah. When she does turn, we'll remind her back in the day when she would, like, deny that she would turn. And
yeah.
Remember the good
well,
old days,
you know,
Granny?
Stroh, if I turned heel, Stroh, I would break so many little kids' hearts and so many fans' hearts because they love seeing me when I holler at the heels the way I do at wrestling shows. And I don't want to break anybody's heart. So, no, I'm going to stay on the good side. So.
But there's always that selected few fan base that'll look at you and go, right on, Granny. Right on, Granny.
It would be very selected for you, let me tell you. It would be very selected for you.
I want to see Granny drop out of the rafters on a table.
Go ahead, Stro. Do your thing.
And Granny's got the whole crow thing.
Granny's
going
to come
back
and
she's got the bull bat.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
You don't know whether she's going to go good or bad. Yeah. But, yeah, Stro, if you would, go ahead and lead us off. Tell us about your business.
Granny's trying to play the United States music on you.
Move along. Yeah, tomorrow night.
He's on the droid you're looking for.
Tomorrow night, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing our favorite, greatest wrestling moments in history. So if you got a great moment in time you'd like to share, please share it with us. And then to Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on the Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night's feature will be Diary of a Madman starring Vincent Price.
Oh.
And as far as recent interviews, I just recently did an interview today, actually, for Open Highway Podcast that you can check it out on my Facebook. It's up. It's on Facebook. It also is up on YouTube now. You can check out when you get time. So, yeah, feel free.
Outstanding. If I was to do a horror flick and I was starring in it, it would probably be Diarrhea of a Madman.
Oh man,
that joke.
I don't want to
take that out. The poo jokes didn't make it tonight. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, I'll just move on with the comedy act. And for my next trick, but Stro, always good to have you aboard, brother, despite my poo jokes.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me.
Great to have you aboard, Steven. Appreciate the stories,
it's a pleasure,
too, man.
Thank you. Good
stuff,
time,
dude.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Now, Granny.
Yes.
Talk to me. What you got?
Well, you know, I just hope everybody has a good rest of the week and stay safe and be good to each other. And I've got Wrestling for a Cause to go to Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Silas Young is going to be making his WFC debut. So everybody's looking forward to that. And like I said, once again, happy birthday to my wonderful husband, David, on Friday. And
happy birthday.
I'm just looking forward to, in almost a month, you know, Granny and family and my good friend, Brian, is going to be making a trip to Dallas for WrestleMania. So we're all excited about that. I can't wait. So
WrestleMania. All right. Awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy, man, going to that. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait for
you
that.
You get to see Stone Cold return, from what I'm hearing.
Well, I'm really hoping that his match against Kevin Owens, see, we have tickets. Our tickets is for night two on April 3rd. It's another two-day event again.
Awesome.
So.
What?
Our tickets are on for night two on April 3rd. So, yeah.
What?
No, yeah, you're funny. I told David, I said, this is going to be a family vacation for us because this may be the only opportunity that we would ever get to do something like this since Dallas is so, I mean, we're like 6 hours. Well, less than 6 hours from Dallas, where we live in Arkansas. So this may be the only opportunity we ever get to go. And my friend that's taking us, he wasn't even going to go, but he'd been wanting to take Granny to a WrestleMania for a long time. And he figured this would be the best opportunity to do it. And we're kind of, you know, since it's kind of like a belated birthday gift for Anthony, a belated birthday gift for David, and an early birthday for Granny. So that's why we're just making a big family vacation out of it.
Awesome.
As you should. Yeah, because, I mean, I wouldn't hold back. I would party my collective ass off because it's a once in a lifetime shot. And yeah, I would not hold back at all. I would have the time of my damn it life. So
I'm going to give it my best shot because, you know, like I said, this is a dream come true because this will be we've been to like one WWE show about 3 or 4 years ago it was for SmackDown. And, you know, this is a dream for all three of us that we're going to be getting to do this. And I'm just, you know, Anthony is just so excited. He's just been telling everybody, all of his friends, where he's going to be going. I mean, he is just so excited about this. And I just can't wait to see the expression on his face when we go to WrestleCon to, you know, get to see some of the stars that we would not normally ever have the opportunity to get to meet. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I would not hold back. Go out there, put any of the bad stuff that's happened recently behind you, and go out there and just have the best freaking time because you got it coming to you. David and Anthony got, you know, all the hard work David's been doing and Anthony, all the stuff that he's been up against. Y'all go out there and just bust ass loose. It would do everybody's heart good to see y'all having a good time. So
it's gonna be our escape, you might say, from reality. You know, just for, you know, 5 or 6 days. You know, so.
You can see Granny out there checking a Polaroid picture in the crowd.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because I can tell you, when we go down there to XCon, and Stro could back it up, we go down there, and I mean. Yeah, I'm not worried about the light bill when I go down there for XCon. I'm going down there and, you know, I've been, and that's the thing about these cons. I've been to 1 day cons and sold 40 books. I've been to 3 day cons and sold 6. You know, it's all about going down there and having a good time and to hell with the money, to hell with this, that, and the other, just go down there and just blast. I wouldn't even look back, but yeah, look forward to it. That way we get back and have the granny report and let you go ahead and fill us in on all that stuff. Cause I missed, I need to get on the show one night. If I get Mike and Mark Murphy, these two guys, I've known for 20 some odd years, and we used to always go to the wrestling shows. We'd rent out one of those big 15-passenger church vans, and we would drive to Charlotte, Winston-Salem, and Raleigh, and all these places when WCW and WWF would be there. And every one of them was a damn adventure. I need to get them on here just to rehash those stories and everything. It was so much fun. And so much crazy stuff happened. So, yeah, looking forward to the report, Granny. Appreciate you joining us this evening. Always good
thank
to have
you, thank
you aboard. Absolutely. And please, please, please remind that young man, husband of yours, big happy birthday from all of us out here.
I certainly will.
And just to try to get as much rest as you can with all the work he's been doing. Hopefully it'll be clearing up here soon. But, yeah, big happy birthday, David. Tim, what kind of parting shots do you have, sir?
I have absolutely nothing except I'm ready to take my happy ass to bed. The 5 miles is still wearing down on me, so I got to go get my beauty rest. All I know is we're still anticipating. I went out there to move the car. There's not a damn thing happening yet. I don't know. The wife's trying to, you know, the boy who cried wolf shit's really going to kick in one day. She's going to tell me to go out there and get, you know, do something. I'm going to blow it off and go out there, and we're going to have, you know, 8 inches of snow or some crap like that. But I don't have anything to say, man. Just my grumpy old self, and I'm ready to hit the sack, and I hope everybody has a good rest of their week. And can't wait for spring. That's it.
I totally hear you, man. as much as I like cold weather and I don't like sweating, not to get into the gory details, but when you're a dude and things get humid, it's not comfortable, especially if you have copious amounts of body hair like I do. And I'm telling you, it's normally wintertime is my time of the year, but I still think it's because I shaved my head. Ever since I got rid of the mullet, it's like I can't hold it to the cold. So the hair was probably keeping keeping all the temperature inside my body, and now it's all escaping through my dome here. I guess I could grow back the mullet, but I'm enjoying this smooth, low-maintenance look right now. But, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to some spring weather too, man, because I've enjoyed the night just sitting out here this evening enjoying a cigar and everything, and that damn cigar was good. It's a I think it was a CAO Fire Eater. It's a new cigar. Damn, if it wasn't a good cigar. But not out here shivering my ass off or anything like that. Got no bugs in my face. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a little spring weather myself, get my garden going again, all that good stuff. So, yeah, man, have a good week. Get yourself some rest. And give our lost brother on hiatus, Todd, when you see him, kick him in the ass and tell him that's from all of us here at Pop Culture Stars. We definitely miss him. And look forward to his return whenever work permits.
And we miss Velvet when he can't be with us.
Yes, yes. I'm hoping Velvet's able to make the trip up to Myrtle Beach and be able to hang out with us here in a little bit next con. That'd be really good to have him.
Yeah, it would. That'd be great.
Yeah, dude, because he's a damn trip. So it would be good to have him there. So, but Tim, no, we appreciate the input this evening. And get yourself some rest, brother. And whatever you do, don't try to do any running tomorrow, regardless whether the cops or dogs are chasing you. Just walk.
Yeah.
Okay?
It will be an off day.
But great.
Tomorrow is an off day.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Easy to fill in. And as for me, it's just the usual stuff, folks. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Make up your own mind. There's a lot of stuff at stake. And again, there's two kinds of decisions you make in your life. You make business decisions and emotional decisions. And when it comes to the people who are running your country, you have to make a business decision. It's not about who you like or who can play the saxophone the best or who's the prettiest. It's all about the one that's going to run the country the best. So when you go to put that $4 a gallon gas in your car, or you go to buy that $1,500 chuck roast, remember what you do in November has a bearing on that. And if we never knew that before, we damn sure know it now. And we really need to pull together as Americans, and we need to pull together as good people and get this country back on track, because damned if we weren't doing fine a year and a half ago, but things now are getting pretty desperate. And I don't like the idea that other countries see us in decline. I feel good knowing that we lead the pack, and as it should be. So there's been an awful lot of blood, sweat, and tears to build this country, and I don't like seeing it pissed away in a 15-month period. So, again, self-educate, make your own mind up, get both sides of the story, and think it through. Business decisions, folks. But otherwise, as Todd would always say, take care of one another. Big hugs, gang. So, with all that said, I'm going to put my lighter in my pocket, and I'm going to tote this half-drank beer and the full beer that I had on deck inside Atwell Manor, and I'm going to cue in the old salty British lady. After I wrestle the sliding glass door, which incidentally, if we all listen regularly, it's actually working a little better these days.
Big hugs, dude. Big hugs.
Yeah, big hugs, big hugs. And over to the laptop. Set the beers down. have a seat in the office chair, slide around. Look at that, man. I got this stuff down to science. And we appreciate everybody joining us. Look forward to next week having you aboard. We hope everybody has a wonderful, safe week. Y'all take care, and thank you for joining us here at Pop Off Stars. Good night.
Good night.
Take care. And British lady, where are you at? There she is.